Australia?
Yeah, there's so many. It's actually insane because I'm originally from Europe, and it's, I mean,
okay,
common back home as well, but not as common, I think. But definitely mm-hmm. a lot of women here in like construction, in engineering, in just kind of like lots of manual jobs as well. Yeah, very, very interesting to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And I know that it's probably really early over there for you.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I wanted to talk to you about women's rights and women empowerment and female energy and all of the things. And so I ultimately found your TikTok page about women's rights and advocating for women, and wanted to know how you really found yourself in that sort of advocacy realm.
Yeah, I actually started volunteering when I was in uni. So I think 2021. So it was my first year of uni. And I really just wanted to do something more, right? Something a bit different. Just be able to have something that's kind of a hobby, but a bit more. And I've always been interested in women's rights, in human rights. And I just, you know, being in uni, it was not easy to, like, I mean, we had courses on human rights, but it was never as, like, you weren't as involved as one would be. So I think that right. I just really wanted to start something where I was able to actively be involved and actually feel like I was doing something for the community, right? And especially because mm-hmm. I did law at uni, I think that it kind of struck an interest in me to look into politics, government policies, and obviously women's presence in that field. And I feel like mm-hmm. you obviously hear the gender gap about it. Like, you hear about it all the time, right? You hear about the pay gender gap all the mm-hmm. time, like just so many gaps here and there. But I feel like the one that I was interested to and interested about, and especially in uni, was gender gap, but in government, right? So like
okay.
the gap in government and in policy making, it's an environment that mm-hmm. maybe nowadays up a little bit less, but it's still something that your brain yeah. kind of associates with men as a result of
100%.
Yeah, and as a result of that, I think that it creates a gender gap in government and policy making, where we find ourselves in a situation where actually men are making policies that affect women.
Yes.
And I feel like it was something that I wanted to learn about a bit more, and I wanted to learn about the effects and how those mm-hmm. laws and policies were actually impacting women. So I think those things just kind of made me really interested in becoming, I mean, I wouldn't call myself someone's like a women's rights advocate. I mean, I am, but I feel like there's like so many other advocates that have been in this field for years. I mean, I graduated out of uni last year, but I've definitely been interested from such a long time. And I also feel like even when I wasn't mm-hmm. interested in it, and even when I wasn't studying it or actively volunteering, I feel like I was already noticing mm-hmm. that it's a system, and that is just built by men for men. And it's just kind of created to idealize men, and most importantly, protect like predators, and just protect the men that are like at the source of like those policies and those laws, which really infuriated mm-hmm. me, and it still does. But I just feel like I'm doing something about it by learning more about it, and by trying to, you know, like volunteer in those areas.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that is such an inspiring story, because I feel like as women, we're kind of just expected to just go with the flow and be okay with all of these systems that are in place. And for me, for such a long time, and I know that law is also a male-dominated industry, is that you're probably in class with a bunch of men, and as soon as you start talking about women's rights and advocating for women, it suddenly becomes this party of hating men. And it suddenly becomes this entire role of, well, why do you hate men? Why is this so targeted against men? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm just trying to even the playing field. It's not anything to do with you, actually.
I feel like it's frustrating, because I feel like the women's rights movement, and specifically like the feminist movement, has become this big like misandria like movement, right? And it's annoying, because we're actually mm-hmm. taken away from what it's actually meant to be. It's just disheartening because you have so many women and men including that want to, like you said, level, like playing field and just have that equality. I feel like so many women and men are kind of taken away from that movement, and it just really becomes just a thing of like, oh, I hate all men, like it needs to be like a matriarch, and just like men need to be like the one that are like, you know, following us, et cetera, et cetera, which like, I don't agree either. And then you obviously have the men that are like, well, like, you all feminists absolutely hate us, and you want like to build a system that's like against us. And it's just like, it's just all that stuff. And it's annoying because obviously you have those things, those contradictions with each, like all the movements, but it's just annoying when it's a movement so important and really just like, yeah, just important and just really so focused on your life and other people's lives that you just come across those comments and those people, I guess. Yes.
No, and I completely resonate with that. Growing up in a house, I was raised by my dad and grew up with two brothers. And for a long, 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 long time, I associated feminism with hating men. And I was like, there's no way, like, I love my dad, I love my brothers, they're great men. And there's no way that I can be a feminist and honestly and fully like subscribe to the idea of the rhetoric of not liking men or hating men. And then come to find out, that's not even what the agenda's about. That's not even, it's just this rhetoric that we're almost taught of women being equal to men equals women hating men somehow, or feeling like we need more female voices is somehow equal to saying we need less men voices. Yeah. Like, it's not, no one's saying that. No. Hey, no, hey guys, no one's saying that. We're just saying that we should be able to be heard and be recognized and be compensated and treated equally.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's something that's so hard to explain sometimes, because I feel like as a woman, especially having those values, I feel like sometimes it's just so common sense to you that you find it hard to explain, and you find it hard to believe that someone else can't see why that's important and can see like why you're doing it. But sometimes I find myself in situations where I'm just like, oh, I mean, it's important because, and then I just kind of pause because I'm like how, like, why can you not see how it's important in the first place? Like, why do I have to explain myself? It just really should be common sense that you're like, yeah, fair enough. Like, men and women should have the same equal rights. And I feel like sometimes about people like nitpicking your values and ideas and movement because they just want to nitpick you and they just want to find like one point that you're like a bit unbalanced on. But I just feel like the people that do get it, especially men that do get it, they understand that it's not about taking away from men, but it's just about giving more to women, and not to be like on a pedestal, but just to just be, to have the equality, right? It's all about the equality. When the feminism movement was born and created, it wasn't about hating men and being more than men and doing more than men, but it was just being equal to men, just having that gender equality that allows us to have the same rights, the same access to rights, the same access to jobs, and to really just have that same reputation as men, which I think we definitely don't have yet. But
No, I completely agree. And I think that you said that perfectly. Like, we're looking for equity. We're looking for similar treatment to men. And the way that I think of that, and the way that it comes across, is like, yeah, it looks like women get extra things or get DEI in the United States, for example, or they are given opportunities or seemingly like they're handed something because they're a woman. And that, to me, although it might seem like an unfair handout or something that a man would never get, the way that I think of equity is, if you're looking over a fence, and if all things were equal, everyone would be standing and able to look over the fence. Some people are shorter, some people are taller. The tall people can see over the fence, so they don't need any resources. That's equal. But what's equitable is to give the shorter person a stool to stand on or something to stand on so they can see over the fence so that they can also be experiencing what the taller person is experiencing. And I think that that, to me, just allows to visualize what equity looks like, because no, sometimes you're right, it's not fair that people get a handout or that people get special attention, but there are things that we need to be able to be on the same playing ground in the first place to even compare the two. And for us to get there, we need additional resources. And so I feel like equity is ultimately like such a hard thing to search for and such a difficult thing to try and relay and tell someone like what that really means.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It's such like a sensitive topic that definitely need to be talked about more. And I feel like it's still very much taboo and stigmatized by so many people. And I feel like people are scared and they tiptoe around the subject. And people that, you know, want to be ally and want to be that supporter, they definitely find themselves in situations where they're too scared to speak up. Right. It's a shame because nothing's ever changed by staying quiet, I think. No matter how hard it is, right? Like we're not saying it's easy. I mean, we've been doing it for a century. Our like ancestors and other women have literally been fighting for the same stuff we've been fighting and protesting and talking about now, legit centuries ago. So you know, and things have changed in the past by speaking up and protesting and things like that, but it's just, yeah, it's just a shame that it's still very, very risky for some women in some countries specifically, but it's just still very, like, sensitive to talk about. And sometimes it's even sensitive to, like, speak up and be like, oh, like, I agree with her. Like, she should have more rights. And I agree with her. Like, women are definitely in a more uncomfortable position than men most of the time, and not have friends or like, oh, like, why would you think that? Or like, men that make jokes and stuff like that. It's yeah, I feel like it's still, we still have work to do, obviously. We wouldn't be here.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect, but
yeah, I definitely feel, especially in the United States, it has become so polarized recently, especially with the new admin of women saying, well, the rights that I've lost during this administration and the rights that we've lost during the administration are none, is what they're essentially saying. And they also compare it to, okay, if we don't have rights, what do you call the women in Iran? And it's just, obviously those women have it bad, but that's like saying you can't be happy because someone else is happier. You know, you can't compare the two. And
yeah, you definitely,
why would you not fight for something that's fair?
You can't compare the two. Right. Like, if you are comparing the two and you're comparing a country like the US with a country like Iran, that's actually very embarrassing because like, the US don't have it that good. And I'm not coming from a place where I'm saying, oh, Italy's amazing and like Europe is amazing. We definitely have our flaws, but there's a lot of work to be done for like, you know, basic human rights and basic women's rights in the US, that it's definitely not a position where it's so perfect that you can compare yourself to countries that have it way worse, like very, I don't know. I just find it frustrating, and it's a shame because yeah, there's so many things that could be focused on internally in your own country before comparing it to other countries that have had it worse for years and years.
Exactly. And with you, you have such an interesting perspective because you're not from the United States, but you recognize that it's not only a problem in the United States, but also in the EU and in Australia. Like, talk to me about that. Talk to me about the journey that you've had in Europe and the journey that you've had in Australia and how it's really been affected and if the two are different or similar.
Yeah, definitely.
How that's just been.
I feel like because I've always had like a pretty like international background, right? I'm Italian, my family is Italian, but I grew up in France, so I went to school in France, and then I did uni in the UK, and then obviously as a result of that, I found myself in Australia for a job after uni, right? But I've been to the US so many times. I was often in the US in the summer, and I have so many friends that are from the US, and I know people now that live now in the US, so I feel like I've always had an insight and like a look into different countries from different perspectives, different positions, definitely from a very privileged position where I can, you know, not be like directly involved in it, but definitely still hear right. about it and be able to like to comment about it and just know what's happening. And I think that it's given me a good insight of how different governments do different things and how it impacts the laws and how it impacts women's and just humans in general. I feel like where countries are focusing on one specific thing, they lack in another, right? So, for example, abortion laws in France are amazing. Like, abortion is now a constitutional right in France. I think it's the first country or one of the first countries in Europe that has made abortion a constitutional right. Which, amazing, like, mm-hmm. you know, groundbreaking, insane. But that doesn't mean that it makes France a perfect country for women. You still have a very racist and, a very racist and discriminatory country. And that's very sexist as well. So yeah, I feel like you just can't win. And then Italy is also quite bad because we don't have abortion as a constitutional right. Abortion is still very much very taboo. And then on top of that, you have the racism and the sexism and all the stuff, the lovely stuff that comes with it. So yeah, I just feel like no country has it perfect, unfortunately. And that just obviously comes from people having different opinions and obviously different governments taking on a country and changing certain laws and just having stricter views on certain policies. And that's why I think it's important when we have people talk about countries, whether it's about, you know, disagreements or politics and laws and just, you know, conflicts going on. It's important to just not say France is doing this and all, but it's about the current government and what they're doing. Because you could find yourself with a government that's like doing amazing stuff and that's just kind of, you know, fixing what the previous government has done and or the opposite, you know, or the opposite and find yourself in a position right. where they're just destroying everything that you've been working on, that our generation has been working on for years and the generations before us. So, yeah, but it's definitely interesting to see, like, have the privilege to just be able to touch upon different countries and see how they handle stuff differently.
Right. And with your constant moving and your experience to so many different cultures, what culture do you feel like has gotten the most right in terms of yeah. humanitarian efforts, in terms of feminist movement, that whole realm?
Honestly, I feel like it's a hard question because I don't think that a country has the most rights or
enough right in order.
Like, yeah. honestly, I don't think, and I might be wrong, and there might, you know, be a country out there that is very much on top of it. But I've never heard a woman say, I'm from X country, and oh my God, we are so privileged. We got it so well back home. Like, we have all the equality that we want. We have all the rights that we want. Like, if you look at Scandinavian countries, and they're often taken as an example of how to do things right and how things could be. Even them, like, I think it's Iceland, they, like, the women go on strike every so often when they don't get paid enough. So there's literally no winning countries where I think they have it. Perhaps some countries where right. they have it better, but I feel like saying to have it better is a bit mm-hmm. it's just not the right word, but perhaps saying that they have mm-hmm. access to more resources and have access to more possibilities and rights, then that might be a better choice of words. Because and also it depends what's important for you. Like, I think that having abortion in your constitutional in your constitution and France did that, then I think that's insane. Like, if you know, if you're having certain, if you look at certain factors and certain metrics and you're like, damn, like France has done it. Like, they're, you know, they're doing what,
yeah.
like thousands of women are hoping, like all over the world. But again, if you look closely, then is it a perfect country? Is it the one that's giving to the women what they want? Then probably not. I mean, it's getting there. They're probably working for it, but it's definitely not quite there yet.
Yeah, it's difficult to pick a winner of an ugly dog show, especially when you don't want to say that one country is doing it right and then they're doing so many other things that aren't quite right or aren't quite fitting in a bunch of other realms. Yeah. So I completely understand the response to that question. I want to go back to what you initially said and how you got interested in the feminist movement and into the realm of human rights with the wage gap. And I want to ask more of your thoughts on that, because obviously you spend a lot of time studying that and looking into that. But with the wage gap, I feel like that to me was also such a confusing concept when I first started learning about feminism. I'm like, of course women don't make as much as men. They're not doing the same jobs. Of course there's going to be a gap in what's paid. And then looking further at it and saying, I'm a female engineer, my male engineering counterpart doing the exact same job as me is making more, and unpacking that as well. And it's a multifaceted issue of what's really going on. So tell me more about what you've learned and what you've studied with that.
I think that being somewhat like being so junior in my career, I never found myself in a position where I've had to think about a gender pay gap, right? Because I've always been the most junior in the room. So for me, that discussion around the wage was always coming from a point of, it's not because I'm a woman, but it's because I've literally graduated 4 months ago, right? So I don't think I can probably talk about it as much. I would probably talk about it in like a few years when I'm in a more senior position and where I'm like, okay, now I am doing everything that you guys are doing the same way. I have the same qualification, the same experience, but why am I still getting paid less? So when I am in that position, then perhaps it's something that I can discuss on. I feel like what you do realize, and that's no matter how junior you are or how senior you are and like your experience and background, it's how people treat you or like how they talk to you depending on that gender. I definitely feel like I found myself in situations where, and I feel like that happens as well, not in a workplace environment, but like even if you meet new people and you're like in a friend group and you might be like the only woman with another woman and then it's all men, I just feel like sometimes you find yourself in situations where they talk to you differently, or like they talk to each other differently, or they just assume things about you. Sometimes I just feel like they feel like they have to like tiptoe around you because, oh, you know, like she's a woman, she doesn't get this, or like, oh, like I don't know. I definitely feel like I have found myself in positions where I've felt like, oh, this is weird and awkward. Why is this so awkward? It doesn't have to be this awkward because I'm a woman and you're a man. And I know that your question was very much on the wage, but unfortunately I don't think I've had enough experience with that to actually comment on it.
No, and that's completely fair, and I respect you acknowledging that you're not an expert on it. But overall, I agree. I've also seen difficulties with being able to converse with either people, whether they're peers or whether they're colleagues, or if they're just people you're working with, that the discourse with men is seemingly challenging at times. And I have to wonder why that is. There, I remember very specifically one time I was with a group of men and we were at a manufacturing facility and we were all just talking and chatting about manufacturing and how the parts that they were made were getting made. And the guy leading the tour starts cussing and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't talk like that in front of you. I'm like, in front of me? And I know that it was out of a term of like respect and endearment, but I want you to feel like you can be authentically yourself. Like I also cuss, believe it or not.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And sometimes it's funny how they just suddenly become very polite people when you have women around them. And I don't understand why. I don't understand what makes a woman, well, obviously I don't understand. It's like, you know, centuries of tiptoeing around women and having them as little perfect dolls and they don't cuss and they don't do this and they don't do that. But I just feel mm-hmm. like it's actually more harming to what we want. Like, I just feel like if you're in a workplace, then you shouldn't cuss in the first place, right? Like, whether you're talking to men mm-hmm. or women. But why does it suddenly make it better if you're dealing with women? Or sometimes they will be definitely more out there and a bit more, you know, out of place if you're dealing with a woman, because they feel like you're a woman, so like you can't really say anything about it, and I'm the man and I'm like in power and I have that position over you, where if I do cuss and I do say this and that, then really you're in no position to talk. So I feel like it comes in like different ways. You can definitely see different sides of it and how people just deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And so is that ultimately that experience of the gap between how men and women communicate with each other, is that ultimately like what drove you into it, and not necessarily like the wage gap? It's more over just the gender gap of not having uniformity between how we speak to each other?
I think for me, it was mainly the bigger stuff of how we're letting women down. And even me, when I was younger and I was in uni, I could definitely see how women were having such a hard time with like basic human rights. Like, I just couldn't, and I still can't mm-hmm. comprehend, why is it so hard for women to have a say over their own bodies? Like, why is this such a big deal when no one's ever gonna do that to a man? Why do we have laws that allow for men to make decisions on women's bodies? Why is it so taboo for women to say, I want to do this with my body, and no one else will say anything? Why is that so taboo? I just couldn't comprehend why we're just idolizing these men that have not mm-hmm. what's best at heart for women and for our future kids and for women growing up. And it's just really annoying me how the government saw so many women suffering, whether it was with abortion, with sexual violence, with domestic violence, and no one's actually doing anything about it. Like, people in power that could change things aren't doing anything mm-hmm. about it. And it's something that I still see now, because, you know, you're out there protesting, or you're meeting with people and you learn about people's stories, and you have some people that are like, oh, like, why are you even doing this? Like, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change anything, right? And I was like, okay, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Right.
Because we're doing this to hopefully get something out of it and have the right people in power to listen, right? To just listen and perhaps do something about it. But I just feel like sometimes people are so tired about it, right? And it's either women that have been doing this for years and they're like, I'm just so sick of it. I've been trying for the past decade mm-hmm. and nothing has changed. Or it's men that are just, you know, don't care. And they're like, you know, and it's never going to change anything. Like, it's just you protesting is never going to change anything. But I'm like, I mean, at least we're trying. We're just trying. Right. We're just trying that at least perhaps someone that is in that correct position will hear us out and be like, yep, fair enough. And I think that's why it's so important for women to be in those positions, right? I think that's why it's so important for women to be in those like policy making rooms and to be in those rooms that discuss those laws and discuss those policies and discuss those like that funding, because mm-hmm. they're the ones that are actually gonna think about what's best for us. I think it's actually like scientifically proven, or like they've done research on the fact that women in power in governments are more likely to think about women's rights and think about what's best for women when they discuss certain policies and certain laws. Mm-hmm. It's just how it is, right? But the thing is that they're not mm-hmm. doing that at the expense of men's rights. They're just doing that just to create that leveling field like you talked about. And it's not about, we'll create a law that benefits just women. No, It's like, let's create a law that is, that works both for men and women. Like, how can I make this more accessible for women as well? And not just for men,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really important, because what we have right now is laws that are quite literally harming women. And it's insane to mm-hmm. see this in 2025.
100%. And I think going back to what you had first said about the systemic system that is in place, that is completely run by men, the patriarchy, if you will, that is everywhere. It exists not only in Australia, not only in Europe, but also in America. It is virtually everywhere. And it is so difficult to feel like your voice is heard. And it is difficult, especially when you feel like you can do something, like protest, like call your senator, like make an impact and have people come to you and say, stop what you're doing. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to do anything. And for what? For why? This is something that women specifically have struggled with, is that women feel like they need to be small, that they need to just listen, that they need to cater to men. And then what happens when that happens is that your rights get taken away. Like, I had a right a year ago. I don't have it. It's going to get taken away. And the fact that it's a constitutional right that can be removed from the Constitution, seemingly in the blink of an eye, is gut-wrenching. And the fact that that can happen with any particular constitutional right, like, that can be taken away in a minute. Like, God forbid you tell the men that we're getting rid of the Second Amendment in America and tell them that you're not allowed to bear arms anymore. What do you think they would do? Protest? Throw a fit? Storm the Capitol, maybe?
That's like what they're doing already, isn't it? Like,
That's what I'm saying. Like,
we've done that already, and somehow it was so easily forgotten that the person that's in power right now is someone that full-on enticed a whole, like, Capitol, like a Capitol break and a whole ass protest in the Capitol. And I think that it's insane, because you have so many... I think what enrages me the most about the US, and that's something that's very common as well in Europe, but I just find a little less, right? Because I feel like in the US, when you learn more about American politics, you're really just like, okay, you have like Democrats against Republicans, and that's just how it is. And I've had like mm-hmm. friends that have lived in the US and I still live in the US, and they're like, it's actually insane when you live here how much this discussion is just so at the heart of so many things. And like, it's really just like, you go to uni and you really just have people hanging out together, and they're all Democrats and the Republicans. But what really enriched me about the whole situation is women being in the situation that they find themselves defending the current situation, like defending the current laws and defending the current, like the current administration. And that's something that you find in other countries as well, 100%. It's not just an American thing. I just feel mm-hmm. like, because the American politics are so like medialized and mainstreamed everywhere, you're obviously you're able to see more of it. And those like little interviews and snippets during those campaigns, and people are like interviewing people in the streets and asking questions, and you have women that are full on just agreeing with all of this. And it just makes me so mad, because mm-hmm. I just think that one of the most dangerous things isn't actually a sexist man. Like, you know, women have worked with that for the past centuries. We know what it is. Sometimes we know how to handle it. What is still so damaging to us and our movement is women being anti-feminist. Like, what's that about? When did women become anti-feminist? Why do we have women that are against abortion? Like, why do we have women that are against, like, funding for sexual violence organizations? Why do we have women against equal pay? That doesn't make sense in my head, but that's all comes down to obviously exposure and education. And unfortunately, you can 100% mm-hmm. see the impact of education, especially on a woman and how she's been brought up and how, what values she's been enshrined. Because to me personally, it doesn't make sense. I could never say any of that stuff, because I just feel like it's ridiculous. If you want to have someone do whatever they want to do to their own bodies, and that's no matter whether a man or a woman, I don't care. Like, it's you. It doesn't impact mm-hmm. me. The moment that it does impact me in a bad way, then fair enough, I can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about basic human rights that have legit no impact on you whatsoever. Like, it does right. not impact your life. Like, you know, it's mm-hmm. just insane. But I find it so disheartening when you have women that are against this movement, and they're very much happy to stay in 80-50 because right. because that's just what they've been taught, and they're very much happy to be in that environment, which is very confusing. Definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting topic.
Yeah. And what you said earlier about in the United States that we have Republican groups and we have Democratic groups, and it's very obvious as to which falls into where, because I feel like in the US we are unique in the sense that we're very team oriented people. We have so many different sports teams. We're really into team culture, and we've adopted that into politics as well. We have become so ingrained with rooting for our team that it has become, I am a Republican, as opposed to, these are the values, these are the platforms, these are the people that I find inspiring, this is what I want to promote. It is, I am a Republican, I am a Democrat, and there is no in between. There is no understanding of where the other side is coming. They don't want to understand. They want to prove you wrong, and they want to be right because they want their team to win.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like you see that a bit more now, where people are saying, that's not what I voted for. When I voted mm-hmm. for this, I didn't think about this and that. When I voted for this, like, I'm not sure if you saw, there was a video about a fast food store, whatever, in the US, and it was a very, mm-hmm. very Republican town and a Republican state, and all the waitresses and stuff, and they were like, oh, like, when I voted, I didn't think about this and that. Like, when I voted for this, I didn't think that they were going to take away Jenny from the counter away and deport her. And I was like, did you not? Because now you find yourself in a position.
Girl, what did you not listen?
Because now you find yourself in a position where your friend is being deported illegally because mm-hmm. she's here with her papers and everything's fine, and she's being deported illegally. And you're like, this is not what I signed up for when I voted. I just thought we were going to get, you know, rid of certain people. But I just, mm-hmm. it's just insane, because now I just feel like they're going back in their words and they're like, never mind, you signed up to like a 5-year mandate now. Is it 5 years in the US?
It's four.
Four. Long enough.
But apparently, long enough, we don't know anymore. We don't know anymore. It's scary.
It's like, you know, 5 years stuck in a environment that you voted for, and yet you find yourself in a position now where you're like, oh, this is not what I voted for. It was like, yes, it is, actually. And you saw that, and you actually had mm-hmm. a trial chance to see this happening like 4 years ago or 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And still after that, you chose to vote again. And yet you find yourself in a position when you're like, this is not what I voted for. I did not vote for a human rights breach and for people to be yeeted out of their homes and their place of work. I mean, yes, you did. You're just ashamed to admit it, I guess.
Yes. And the people that are saying, I had no idea that this was going to happen, he didn't say this. You know who did say it? Kamala. She said it verbatim multiple times. She was like, they're going to be illegally removed. People, loved ones, community members are going to be illegally deported. So for people to say, I didn't know, were you not listening? That just says you're not listening.
Yeah.
And that goes back to my idea that people are so oriented in team that they don't even listen. They just put it out of their minds that I am a right-wing conservative, I'm a Christian, and so I'm going to vote for whoever that candidate is. They don't even listen.
100%.
And that's scary.
I think what I find the most empowering, though, and the most inspiring, is those people that are able to sit with those thoughts. And obviously, we're talking from mm-hmm. a very privileged position that they have the education and they have the ability to form their own opinions and thoughts, which isn't for everyone. Like, not everyone has that chance, depending on where they live and who right. they live with. But what I found the most inspiring were those people that were like, yes, I grew up in a very Republican family. We have voted Republican all these years. However, this time around, I'm voting for something else because I'm I'm just too worried about what's going to happen if I do stay, if I stick with my Republican vote. I have sisters, I have a wife, I have daughters, and I feel like this is my chance to actually vote for what I believe in rather than just follow the movement. And I find that so inspiring because it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do, especially when, you know, you as an American are saying that it's just so easy for Americans just fold their team and just stick with it. No matter if you don't agree, it's just, you know, it's what you know best. It's what you've been doing for the past 20 years. But it's just so inspiring because going against that particular movement and going against that your own idea that you've been, you know, like that, you know, for the past 20 years is what actually creates change, is what actually sparks those conversations, which I think is so important. It's so important.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it is so challenging to adjust your mindset of what you're saying, of I've voted red all these years. Now I want to take into consideration like my own thoughts, my own ideas, think for myself, because the people of your community might not think like how you went. Like if, especially for the people that go to university and college, like you're exposed to so many different kinds of people from so many different regions that you just form a different world opinion. And the community that you're coming from might be different and they might have instilled those values. And so yes, 100% echo what you say of that. It is challenging, but so admirable to watch people do that.
Yeah, no, 100%. I just think that it's, we're in a such a sensitive situation that it's a shame that we are afraid to speak up and we're afraid to have people's backs. Like we're in an environment right now where we're scared to defend a woman getting that abortion, or we're scared to defend a woman fighting for that equal wage. And it's, I just find it insane. Like when did it become not okay to just agree with someone and just defend that person? And it's, again, it's the whole that stigma around and the history of centuries of seeing women in a certain way that puts in a situation today where we're literally just afraid. We're afraid to be a feminist, and men are embarrassed to be a feminist and say, no, that's not okay. But I think, guess what? Like nothing, like I said, nothing has ever been changed by not speaking up. Nothing has ever been handed to you. Nothing will ever be handed to you, especially if you're a woman. So why, you know, if you're afraid to speak up, but then you're also afraid to stay silent because nothing's going to change, then you might as well just speak up, because at least of it, you might get something out of it. That's the only difference. You're scared in both scenarios, but in one of them, there's like a 0.0001% chance that something would actually come out of it. So, and you might actually educate someone else in the process. So that's always a win, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that lends into how do you stay hopeful and optimistic during a time where it's hard to, like you see the United States repealing constitutional rights, but then you see France adding abortion to their constitution. Like, how do you remain hopeful in a time where things seem so transitional?
I think it's been hard to do so because of like my volunteering, and because I'm just so interested in the field. I only see the negative stuff of it, right? I only see the women getting assaulted and their stories and people not believing them, and I only see the abortion cases gone wrong and all that stuff. So it's hard to remain hopeful, but then I think that it is very important to focus on those wins, because it means that we are doing something that's, you know, effectively working. Those, you know, those abortion laws in France or whatever, they're not being chosen just because they felt like it. They've been chosen because women have been working for it for the past centuries. They didn't wake up when they were like, oh, yay, like, let's give women one more right. We just feel so nice today. Let's give them abortion. No, it's just because, like, your grandmother and your great-grandmother has been fighting for that specific right for as long as they can remember. And now, finally, like 20 years later, they're getting a result. So I think that's why it's so important to just not stop what you're doing, because you might not know. You might get what you want in 10 years' time, but that's why you're doing it, right? Like you see mothers fighting those fights, not for them. Like, they're very much aware that they're not going to get what they want, like, in 6 months. Mm-hmm. But they're doing it because they know that there's a possibility that their daughters will actually get the back end of that benefit and will actually get to have access to safe abortion, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's why you can't stop, mm-hmm. because you're doing it for you, yes, but you're mostly doing it for the generations to come and what they can have access to. And it's been like that for as long as you can remember, right? Specifically with the right mm-hmm. to vote, when women fought for it centuries ago, some of them might have enjoyed it for the 1 year, the one time that they voted, and then they passed away because they were 8 years old, but right. their granddaughters and their daughters had access to it now. So I just feel like it's hard to be hopeful, but I feel like if you look really closely, you can definitely see change. It's just a shame that it's sometimes shadowed by such horrible things that are happening and are completely valid to be spoken about and they need to be spoken about. It's just a shame that there's mm-hmm. The wins are very brief and very much yes. not highlighted on and off, I think.
I agree. And I feel like what we were talking about earlier in the comparison between Americans' rights and Iran's rights, like their women's rights, I feel like there's so many women that are like, well, why would I bother when there's other people that have it worse? Like, shouldn't I just be happy? And I feel like it is so important because, like what you just said, even though it's a small improvement, it's an improvement. And in our lifetimes, it's a small one, but over the scale of 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 yeah. years, it ends up compounding to be so much more. It's like a small investment into a long-term stock.
100%,
of
yeah.
the payout. Exactly. It's not going to be something that you immediately see. It's going to be something that impacts your grandchildren, impacts your great-grandchildren. And ultimately, if you're going to end up mothering children and hopefully becoming a grandmother at one point, if that's what you want, the generations that you have to come, like, you're leaving a legacy on this planet when you leave. And don't you want a better life for them? Don't you want to make the world a better place than when you came into it? Is ultimately the mindset that I try to have. And it's ultimately what it seems like yeah. yours is as well, is that even if it's a small thing that you feel like you're doing, it could be so much greater.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like it's such a good basis for education as well, because people will come to you with all those negative comparisons, right? And they'll say like, oh, they have it so much worse there and there. But to have the privilege to say, yes, but have you seen that country and what they've done for women's rights? Do you see how good mm-hmm. they have it? Why can't we have that? Why can we not compare ourselves with better situations so we can actually learn from them and actually apply the same mm-hmm. things to our own country and our own government? Instead of saying, like, it's just always that rhetoric of telling women to just be happy with how they have it because you could have it so much worse. Like, no, I know for mm-hmm. a fact that I can have it so much better. So why are you telling me to look at the woman that's living in the third world country and expect me to be happy with my 10K less wage and my almost criminal access to abortion, and I just should be happy with it and shut up and just, you know, you could have it so much worse. No, I know for a fact that I can have it better. Mm-hmm. Let me have it better than that. But I feel like that just comes yeah. with the privilege of education. I just feel like it's, you know, like the best way to get involved in this change and to spark those conversation is just having that education to say, no, for a fact, this happens and this happens. I know it can be changed. I know instances where it has changed and how that has positively impacted my community and my friends and my family. So I want best for me and for everyone around me. And that comes with mm-hmm. spreading awareness and having those uncomfortable conversations. And out of 10 uncomfortable conversations, might come out with that one person that you're able to change their mind on something. That just, one, mm-hmm. feels so rewarding. And second of all, you actually feel like you've done something for the greater movement. But yeah.
Yeah. And I love that. And I know we're running up against time here, but I want to ask one more question about how can women get involved and feel like they're making a difference? Obviously, you're volunteering and you're doing things in Australia and you're speaking on the internet. How do you think that other women can get involved and what do you recommend?
I feel like you can definitely, again, like volunteer and et cetera. But if you don't have access to everything, and not everyone wants to do that, but you can educate yourself, read, research, see about those cases, have those conversations with people that don't have the same values as you, educate yourself and just spread awareness. I think that there isn't better involvement than spreading awareness on something good and something that can have that positive impact, mm-hmm. because we tend to not speak up. And as women, we've been told not to speak up. So I feel like as a woman, speaking up is probably making the most difference. You don't have to volunteer to speak up. If you literally just tell your workmate that, hey, that's not okay, or have this conversation with your friends mm-hmm. and families. And I mean, if you can't volunteer, yep, go for it. I mean, that's the best of the best. But there are other ways. There are definitely other ways. Like, and I feel like education is so important around that as well. So getting involved in those scenarios and situations where you can really make a difference and speak up and share your opinions is so good and so beneficial for yourself and for everyone around you.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I feel like expecting everybody to volunteer and expecting everybody to protest at every opportunity that there is daunting. Yeah. And that's not what anybody is saying. It's just do what you can, yeah. get educated, most importantly, yeah. of understanding what is going on, mm-hmm. how can we improve things, what can be better, because you might come up with your own method yeah. of how to improve yeah. things, or you might decide to run for a position in Congress. Like, who knows? The world is your oyster, yeah. truly, but it all starts with getting educated. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining me, Martina. It was great talking to you. Actually,
thanks so much for having me. It's been awesome. And I wish you all the best as well with your podcast. I'm really excited to listen to more episodes and see who else you're going to have on board with this.
Thank you so much. Well, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Bye, Sarah. Bye-bye.
Bye.